folks.
You stole my line there, Eli.
Right? I have no pride. I will steal a good line.
Plagiarism, folks. Plagiarism. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. If anything will that'll drive me to hell, it's plagiarism. Just like Dr. Martin Luther Dingbat King, right? He plagiarized everything, folks. Total plagiarist. But in any case.
What's-his-face? Einstein.
Oh, that's right. That's right. His wife did the math, and he stole the patents that came across the, what do you call it, when he worked in a post office. He would look at people's mail and steal their ideas. That's what Einstein did. But anyway, folks, thanks for joining us here at Eurofolk Radio. This is Bloodlines for June 25th, 2017. And today we're going to start a series on Micah. Not sure how long this is going to take because it's a seven or eight chapters that are primarily prophecy for the end times, although I would say it's a case of dual prophecy, which had an immediate resolution and fulfillment, but it's also for the end times, for a true Israel in these last days. And
there's a great many parallels.
Yes, absolutely.
With what's going on now in Micah.
Uh-huh.
It's phrased a little oddly, but it's very pertinent to what we're going through.
Amen, amen. And so, and we're monitoring the chat room at Eurofolk Radio. Anybody who wants to do that, wants to join in there, you have to sign up because we want to keep trolls out. So just follow the procedure there to choose your chat name, et cetera, and join in the great fun that we have in the chat room there. So welcome to all of the people listening to Eurofolk Radio this morning and to the people in the chat room. All of the truth lovers in the world, and of course the white kinsfolk of true Israel, Caucasian Israel, the Adamic people of planet Earth. We teach here that the Jews are imposters and do not have any DNA, any Hebrew DNA, any Israelite or Judahite DNA. They're total imposters, and they admit this in their own writings. So that's a quick introduction to what Christian identity is, if you've never heard the term before. And we're going to start with an explanation of who Micah is. And this is from the Center for Biblical Studies.org. Mainstream Judeo-Christian scholars are often useful for purposes like this, where they have done historical research as to the timing, et cetera, et cetera. But usually their theology is skewed toward multiculturalism, antinomianism, dispensationalism, and all kinds of modern errors, which Paul prophesied in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and which we call the Great Apostasy, for short, Judeo-Christianity. Right, Pastor Steve? This is
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And for the people that aren't familiar with our chat room, we get a lot of postings in the chat during the show because we have a lot of people in the chat room that basically are really sharp, okay? They've really got it together and have studied, and they post comments, which we pick up on.
Right.
It's more of a group show. It's us hosting the thing, but we put the ideas of the learned in the chat room, of which there are many, and that chat room is an active part of the show. People don't realize that. They're not talking on the show as we are, but we're picking up their ideas, and we give credit to the quotes. And it is an active part of Bloodlines.
So, there's a great comment by Finn87. Not easy to out-Jew the Jew. People have tried.
Yeah, there's so many.
All right.
And Bavaria Man says, we're grouping up here indeed. Absolutely. Yeah. And we got Brother Hebert and Swamp Fox. And, oh, man, I mean, yeah, we're loaded this morning. Loaded for bear.
Right. By the way, I received an email this week asking us to, it's from somebody in Missouri, as I recall, asking us to do a virtual service, you know, because it's Sunday morning and a lot of people.
Yeah, I got that email and I referred them to you because
oh, okay.
UB to HNWIC.
The honky? What? A honky?
Yeah, the head nigga, what's in charge?
Right. Okay.
But you make suggestions for the programming, and you get together with Paul over in England.
Right.
And,
but since both of our schedules are so busy, there's no reason why we can't turn Bloodlines into exactly that. And using the chat room, the only thing that's missing is the choir and Jimmy Swaggart. Right? So we can work that kind of stuff into the morning show and have a lot of fun with it. And
I can go into my send me your money rant. I can do my mocking rant that I do. Hallelujah and amen. God wants me to have a new Cadillac.
You got that southern accent down, bro. I love it.
Because I'm a southerner.
Right. Maybe it's the accent that draws all those millions of bucks in, right? Those guys are sharp. It's really, that poor southerner, he's so poor, he needs money. And so people send him money, right? But here, let's get into the theme here. Micah, and this again is the Center for Biblical Studies, and it tells us this. Micah was a prophet from Judah. Fortunately, he doesn't say a Jewish prophet. Okay, that is absolutely correct what he says right there. But prophesied to both Samaria and Jerusalem, capital cities of the northern and southern kingdoms, which most Judeo-Christians don't even know about.
Let's stop right here. Let me make a comment.
All right.
Samaria was one of the places that they put those golden calves under Jeroboam. When the kingdoms had split, he had those golden calves there, and he didn't want anybody to go over to Jerusalem because they might go back and ally with Judah, and he would lose his 10 northern kingdoms. So he said, "No, these are your gods that brought you out of Egypt."
Yes, amen.
And it developed into an apostasy where the people of Samaria were worshiping pagan gods.
That's right.
And Yahweh at the same time.
At the same time, right.
And that is why they were reviled among the people of the actual tribe of Judah. The Samaritans were half and half apostatized.
Right, right.
And they were rejected for that reason, not because they were racially mixed.
Right.
But because of their religious practices. And in Yeshua Messiah's time, they were not to sit down and have any fellowship with Samaritans.
Right.
Like the Samaritan woman.
Mm-hmm.
He healed her daughter, but didn't make her full part of Israel because at Christ's time, they had mixed with some of the Edomites and Canaanites, and they were no longer pure seed.
Right. That was a Canaanite woman, by the way.
She was supposed to be a Canaanite woman from Samaria.
Okay. Well, some people consider those two episodes different, the Canaanite woman and the Samaritan woman. But the lesson is there that the Samaritan Israelites had apostatized.
I heard the fella on the preceding show this morning talk about the passage of with the adulteress, where they're cast the stones. That is not in the original scripture. That was added by an evangelist later on.
Okay.
Much later on. That's not part of scripture. That's in Mark, and it's not in there.
Okay.
And people quote that, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." That's added.
Okay.
That was added later, and the ending of Mark is also added.
Okay.
So there are several places that scripture has had additions by evangelists.
Yeah.
Much later. So right. you have to be very, very careful what you quote of Scripture.
Right. Well, we could do a show on that, because there are people who claim that other original texts in the Hebrew and the Greek are actual sources for that. So there's disputation about that. But in any case, that would be worthy of a show. And we could talk about how Hebrew and Greek scholars utilize their texts, where they get their texts from, et cetera, okay? And but getting back here, let me just ask you a quick question. Do you recall what was the original reason why the 10 northern tribes seceded from Judah?
The Judahite king, after Shlomo,
right,
Rehoboam, his son, right. Yahweh said, "I'm going to rip the kingdom apart and take from you 10 tribes. I will leave you Judah and Benjamin." And his sons told all of Israel, "Well, my father chastised you with whips.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to chastise you with scorpions." Now, people don't know what a scorpion is. A scorpion is a whip with pieces of sharp metal.
Oh, a cat of nine tails.
Tied onto the end of
it.
That is a scorpion.
Ah, cat of nine tails.
That's called a scorpion. It's got, and when you got hit with it, it ripped the flesh from your body.
It hurt.
That's what they chastised Yeshua Messiah with.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Okay.
So Rehoboam was antagonized the 10 northern tribes
He did not take the counsel of the elders,
right.
Which said, "No, lighten up on these people."
Right.
Took the counsel of his young men, which were all gung-ho, his crew that he hung with.
Right,
the kingdom was ripped from him, and all that was left was Judah and Benjamin in that area, and the rest of the people left, and they made their capital at Shomeron, which is Samaria.
Right. So it was, Rehoboam who's really at fault there, and we really can't blame the 10 northern tribes that didn't want to send tithes to this guy anymore.
Well, that was of Yahweh.
Yes.
Yahweh engineered that.
That's right. That's right.
And people, that's another little thing. They don't know what a scorpion is. Well, they don't know what the eye of the needle is.
Mm-hmm.
An eye of a needle is a tiny, narrow gate that if they were going to bring a camel through it, they had to unload the camel.
Right.
And the camel had to go duck down and go through on its knees to get through that gate. So, and then they had to bring the stuff in and reload the camel and take it to the market.
Yes.
So that's why it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of the needle. Well, that's what the eye of the needle is. That is
a
Hebrew idiom.
Yes, right.
For a tiny little one-man gate, so a whole bunch of troops couldn't come through that gate. They could only come through one at a time and could be easily killed.
That's right. Right. Yeah, very good. Very good. Okay, so he, that is Micah, prophesied before and after the fall of Samaria in 722 BC and into the reign of Judah's king Hezekiah. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. Unlike Isaiah, however, Micah was not part of the inner court. More like Amos, Micah was from the village of Moresheth, which explains the Moreshite designation.
Moreshite.
This may explain Micah's sensitivity to social injustice. Well, I mean, just about everybody. You know, we had all kinds of evil kings, so social injustice was not that uncommon, even among the unified 12 tribes. The 7 chapters of this book are a series of prophecies that alternate between judgment and restoration, kind of like the Apocalypse of Baruch. And the back and forth, the black and white periods of evil and good. Okay, it was an ebb and flow. Israel often ruled over their enemies, and Israel was often overcome by their enemies. And usually, what was the reason why the Israelites were overcome by their enemies?
Apostasy.
There
That's
you
why,
go.
That's why all of Jerusalem was burned. In that time period, they had flat roofs because they didn't have a lot of rain. They had some, but not a lot, so they didn't need peak roofs. They built their houses with extra heavy beams up top.
Right.
Because they used the roof as a porch. They also had soil up on the roof. And they grew grass as fodder for their animals they kept at the house. And they also had their little pagan idols in a corner of the roof where they did their pagan idol worship.
Right.
And the women poured out drink offerings up there to the Queen of Heaven, which in the Catholic Church is Mother Mary and the child that she holds. That is not Mother Mary. That is the Queen of Heaven. And Semiramis.
Semiramis. And her daughter Hillary.
That's the reason that those houses were burned, because of the pagan worship that took place on them.
Okay.
And Yahweh had Nebuchadnezzar destroy all of them.
Amen. Amen. So Yahweh used Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon.
Tool.
Right.
He was destroyed later by Koresh of Persia.
Amen. Amen. So, and this is part of the ebb and flow of the history of Israel. And we, in the modern apostasy, we could say that Judeo-Christianity is the apostasy. Okay. And only one true version of Christianity survives, and that is Christian identity. The racial identification of Israel with the Caucasian Adamites, keeping the law.
And we are not a denomination with denominational little inserted laws.
Right.
If it's not in the scripture, we don't practice it.
That's right. That's right. Scripture only. Okay, Micah rebukes Samaria and Jerusalem for spiritual prostitution. What the hell is spiritual prostitution?
That's what I say. You went a whoring after false gods.
Well, okay.
That has a dual meaning right there.
Right, yeah. How about literal prostitution?
They had orgies.
Yes.
That's literal. It was a sex cult.
Mm-hmm.
Those gods were sexual gods. Phallic symbols and the woman female sign that you see these politicians making with their hands today.
Right.
All of that. It was actual orgies plus sacrifices.
Yeah, throwing babies,
They were fertility rites.
Right, and throwing babies into the fires of Molech.
Yep.
Okay.
Big bronze statue of Molech, where they build a fire in the belly and they toss the babies in.
That's
their
right.
Their own firstborn.
Their own offspring.
And the firstborn is Yahweh's.
Yeah. And the Jews have gotten us to do that again today. It's called abortion.
Yep.
Okay. And Yahweh is going to judge us for that too, folks. Make no mistake. We as a people are going to be judged for that. Okay. All right, so the spiritual and literal prostitution and social injustices, promising exile for both. Leaders are chided for taking bribes and working for hire, just like our politicians today.
Exactly.
Right? Thereby leading many people astray. Still, Micah prophesies an eventual restoration, where there will be justice in Israel and peace among the nations. A remnant will be gathered from exile, and Israel's dominion will be restored. Now, let me ask you, Pastor, is there any possibility that this restoration equals the church or Judeo-Christian?
No, they are scattering the sheep, not gathering them.
That's right. That's right. Leading this remnant will be a promised ruler from Bethlehem, David's hometown. Well, guess who? Guess who that might be, folks? In other words, this new leader will be a new David, and Yahshua at his first advent came as the lamb. When he comes the second time, it will be as the Lion of Judah, folks. who has come to shepherd his flock in peace. Peace will not be restored until the second coming. Matthew 2:5-6 connects this idea to the birth of Jesus. Along with Amos, Hosea, Zephaniah, and Zechariah, Micah calls Israel to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with Yahweh. Without such just and humble behavior, Israel's cultic rituals are worthless in the sight of God. Well, if they're pagan, they're worthless to begin with. Finally, one more paragraph here. It is also interesting to note that Micah's prophetic ministry was known and respected long after it had concluded. For example, Micah 3:12 is quoted by Jeremiah in Jeremiah 26:18, which is only one small indication of the respect and importance attributed to Micah's prophetic ministry. Even greater than this is the continuity between Micah's theological message and that of much later prophets in Israel's history. At least, he doesn't use the word Jew once.
That's correct.
Thank you. All right. So, before we get into, do you have any words to discuss here about the prophet Micah before we start reading?
Well, I think it'd be better just to pick them up as they occur.
Okay. All right. Let's go. Micah 1:1. The word, and I'm reading from the proper name version, the word of Yahweh that came to Micah the Moresite, as they spell it here, and of course he was a resident of that village called Moresh, I believe it was called.
Yeah, it's called a Morashti.
Morashti, okay. It's easier to pronounce in Hebrew than in English. All right. In the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Now, here we have to cite the
All right, 2:3-7:2.
Okay.
He saw as a seer concerning Shomeron and Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. That saw as a seer is one word. It's 2:3-7:2.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, and the references. Now, you folks out there might want to write these down. Part 1A of this verse 1, you can reference 2 Kings 15:32-38. That's 2 Kings 15:32-38. And 2 Chronicles 27:1-7. That's 2 Chronicles 27:1-7. Part B of this verse, you can reference 2 Kings 16:1-20. That's 2 Kings 16:1-20, and 2 Chronicles 28:1-27. That's 2 Chronicles 28:1-27. Part C of this verse, you can reference 2 Kings 18:1-20, 21. And 2 Chronicles 29:1-32, 33. That's 2 Kings 18:1-20, 21, and 2 Chronicles 29:1-32, 33.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Very good. Let's continue here. By the way, I just wanted to mention here we see that the terms Samaria and Jerusalem apply contemporaneously to the cities as when they exist right then and there, but they also apply figuratively to the Israelites scattered throughout the world today, okay? And we'll find that out. This will become
clear.
That's
correct. And yeah. Samaria and Jerusalem were not that far apart geographically.
No. and they often had wars against each other. Okay.
Yeah, they were two shitty states.
Mm-hmm.
Very close. And
yes.
They had constant turf battles.
Okay. Now, this is addressed to us. Hear, all you people, listen, O Earth, and it's addressed to the whole Earth, and all that there, anybody who's capable of hearing and understanding, and let Lord Yahweh be witness against you. All right, he's speaking to us Israelites. Yahweh is witnessing against us, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, Yahweh comes forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, and the leadership positions. He's going to crush them. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire. This is the judgment day, folks. And as the waters that are poured down a steep place, a great flood of fire, lava.
All right, can we break here?
Sure.
Okay. And here's what it is in the Hebrew. Hear, all you people, listen, O land, it's 776, Eretz, and all that is in it. And let the Lord Yahweh, now that is Adonai. Yahweh.
Yes.
That is a title applied to Yahweh with the name following. That is correct.
Okay.
Be witness against you. And it has the Lord from his holy temple in the King James. That is Yahweh from his holy temple.
Okay.
Because, behold, Yahweh comes forth from his place and will come down and tread, that's trample. Upon the high places, 1116, places of pagan worship of the land. And the mountains shall be melted, 4549, in your Hebrew dictionary, under him. And the valleys shall be cleft asunder, 1234, as wax, 1749, before the fire. As waters poured down, that's one word, 5064, a steep slope, 4174.
Right. This is volcanic activity.
So the places of pagan worship.
Right.
That were, they had high places, even in Jerusalem. They built up mounds and had altars on them.
Yes.
Those are high places. And he's going to trample those high places.
Yeah. Now, let's bring this up to date real quickly. We see the Judeo-Christian churches, which most of them are, in fact, Israelites who don't know they're Israelites, have invited voodoo, they've invited witchcraft, they've invited rabbis, they've invited imams into their temples. Are they not doing exactly the same in violation?
Well, they're worshiping on the day of the sun god.
Right.
Well, that's the first indicator right there. They have set as Sabbath the day of Sol Invictus, the invincible sun.
Mm-hmm. Catholic Church
Mithra
did that.
Yeah. That's the Babylonian sun god. They have a sun pillar on the roof of their church. That's the steeple. That is an Egyptian sun pillar for sun worship.
Right.
How many of them know that?
Right. Right.
Oh, we got a nice steeple. It's got a bell in it.
Yes. And even the cross is an ancient symbol for the sun. Because if you look at the sun with your bare naked eyes, you can't do that for too long. You will. It will appear to, you'll have the circle in the center and the rays, four rays.
Yeah, the cross is the insertion of sun worship into Christianity because Yahshua was not crucified on a cross with his arms spread out. They were straight up, and he was nailed through the wrist when he said they put nails through his hands. In Hebrew, the whole forearm is considered part of the hand. Now, they put the things through the nail through the wrist.
Right, to avoid breaking
bones.
Because
if they put it in the hand, it would rip out.
Right.
In between the wrist bones, the bones of the forearm. That's where they nailed the nail.
Yeah.
And it, when you are hung like that, it draws on the diaphragm and slowly suffocates you. You can't get a breath.
Right.
That is the method of crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
He was impaled on a stake.
Right.
If you read the Greek, it's staru.
Okay.
It doesn't mean a cross.
Right.
That is a Catholic symbol.
Yes, it is.
That they put in with their sun worship and their idols.
Yes. And the fact is that the early Christians did not use a cross as the symbol for their faith.
No, the fish symbol.
It was the fish symbol, the Vesica Piscis. And it was not until Constantine, when that vision he had with this sign, go forth and conquer, it was not until Constantine that the cross replaced the Vesica Piscis as a symbol of Christianity. Okay, I am the fisher of men.
Constantine wasn't even Christian.
No, he wasn't. He didn't convert until his deathbed. Right? He was basically a pagan, and he eliminated the persecution of Christians, but he was by far not a Christian. He was not a Christian at all. And he gave rise to the Catholic Church by combining paganism with the early Christian faith.
That's okay. Where Christmas comes from.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
the ascension
right.
of the sun.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So these are facts of very few, we're historians, folks. The evolution of Christianity from the early days into its modern apostate forms is something we should all know, because the early Christians were very much like us in identity. They had meetings in their homes. It was a home church movement.
They assembled in their homes. That's why we are the assembly
of
Christian Israelites. We are not a church.
That's correct.
I do not attend I do not belong to a church.
Right, and church is a reference to brick-and-mortar buildings where people assemble.
And Circe, the...
Right. Circe, the pagan goddess.
Yes.
There you go. All right. So, where did I leave off? I forgot. Okay, I think verse 5. For the transgression of Jacob is all this. For the transgression of who? Us.
Jacob, Israel.
Us. And for the sins of the house of Israel, he's talking about us.
That's right.
What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places, underline high places, of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Okay, so my
golden calves
there
in
you
Samaria
go.
And mm-hmm. the pagan Yahweh worship.
Yes,
they combined,
right?
And the high places with the altars of pagan gods.
Yes.
In Jerusalem itself. They built them within the city.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon did a lot of that.
That's right. So you can see that the apostasy of the Israelites was great then as it is today. Verse 6. Therefore, I will make Samaria as a heap in the field, and as plantings of a vineyard, and I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will uncover the foundations thereof. He's going to discover our sin.
And that also happened physically.
That's right.
The city of Shomeron, which was bought from the pagan, the Canaanite, Shomer, and that's why they called it Shomeron.
Mm-hmm.
From the founder of the city, an Israelite bought it from Shomer, and they never drove the Canaanites out. They didn't drive the Yebusee from Jerusalem. And the original name of Jerusalem was Yebus.
Right.
From the Canaanite Yebusee that lived there, and they failed to drive them out.
Right. Right.
If you read your scriptures, they live there unto today. Well, they mingled with them.
Just as today we
and
have failed.
And they mingled with the Canaanites over in Shomeron, in Samaria.
Right. Just as
we
today
failed
we have,
in our first commission to kill all those people.
Right. Right. Just as we have brought them back in today, they're the Jews, folks. Why are we bringing these Canaanites and Edomites back into our nations? Why are we worshiping them as if they were Israel when they are total imposters, folks? This is our sin.
But they're Goa's chosen people. Right? Hallelujah. Send your money.
Baal's chosen people, for sure. Okay.
Well, they're chosen.
That's right.
Don't tell you what they're chosen
for. For a barbecue.
Can you say flaming fire?
There you go. Verse 7, and all the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces. All right. And all the hires there, well, what do our people worship today? Gold, paper money, all right? And all the hires thereof shall be burned with the fire, and all the idols thereof I will lay desolate. For she gathered, this is our judgment, folks. The Bible says judgment comes first to the house of Israel. That's happening right now. That's why Europe is on fire. That's why America is on fire. Australia, Canada, our nations are on fire with apostasy. And if you keep Yahweh's law and pray to him and his faith and keep his faith, you will be spared. But if you go
the
way,
only way you'll be
that's
fair.
The only way. If you go the way of the Judeo-Christians, you will burn. Period. You will burn. You will not get out of the fire. Forget about being raptured. There's no chance of that.
You'll be ruptured, not raptured.
That's right. Exactly. And all the graven images shall be burnt with fire, and all the idols thereof I will lay desolate, for she gathered out of the hire of the harlot. And
yes,
that's what
they
our
prostituted
people...
themselves to pagan gods as they're bowing and genuflecting to pagan gods and their idols in the world, not necessarily a graven image,
right?
But the stuff that they worship more than anything else,
right?
Like sports figures and all that other stuff,
right? Yeah, and they shall return to the hire of a harlot, which is what our people are doing today. Exactly. Race mixing, multiculturalism,
right.
Communism, you name it. It's the hire of the harlot.
Yep.
Verse 8, therefore I will wail and howl, I, Yahweh. And he's screaming at you right now through the speakers of Eurofolk Radio. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the dragons and mourning as the owls. Okay, there's going to... for her wound.
Okay, stop right,
right
here.
Okay.
I will make a wailing like the jackals.
Ooh.
8, 5, 6, 8. The jackals...
Right, right, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they put dragons in here. Wrong.
Uh-huh.
Look up the word, 8, 5, 6, 8.
Yeah. But you have to admit, Pastor Steve, the dragons are more impressive than jackals.
All right. And mourning, that's 60, to be mourning over the dead as the daughters of ostriches.
Ooh.
Not owls.
Okay.
You ever hear the ostriches? They make the females can make noises.
Oh, okay.
The males can't.
Interesting. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because owls they hoot.
Yeah, you know, well, it's not owls, it's daughters 13:23 of ostriches 3, 2, 8, 4. Look it up.
Okay. All right. So, you know, minor errors.
That's why he's got me in on this show here, folks.
Right, right. Yeah, to discuss the Hebrew terms and what they really
that's
mean.
Right.
To show the deficiencies of the King James Version and all its daughters. Right? Now here, for
all
her...
right, now there's a note. Brother Eber said the Septuagint had she where the KJV perversion has I.
Okay.
So it would read.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Therefore, she will wail and howl. She will go stripped and naked. She will make a wailing like the jackals.
Right.
And mourning as the daughters of ostriches.
Sounds like John Hagee.
Verse 9, it says, for her wound, therefore, verse 8, replace I with she.
Wow. That is
so thank
really
you,
bad.
Brother Hebert. That is
right.
That is great.
Yeah, and we did a show, a two-part series on one-to-one, explaining how the Septuagint version of Esther is far superior to the KJV version or the Masoretic
sure
text.
Did.
Okay. And that's why it's very important. In fact, the Septuagint was the version that Jesus and the apostles used in contra argument against the Pharisees, okay? Because
yep.
That was the text used by Jesus and the apostles themselves. Yet today, you have Judeo-Christian ministers condemning the Septuagint as if it were false. This just shows how little they understand
well,
about true Christian history.
My people perish for lack of knowledge.
That's right. That's right. But now this...
See, there's another instance where this chat room is invaluable. We have
right.
a whole team out there, not just Eli and myself. There's a whole herd of people in Israel that are following, and they're reading right along, and they're providing additional knowledge. See how this works?
Mm-hmm.
It works. This is a team. It is an assembly of Israelites.
Yes. Amen.
And we gather, we all gather knowledge, and we all study to show ourselves approved and bring up pertinent points like this.
Yes, yes. And it is so important to study with concordances and as many lexicons and dictionaries as you can because...
Yep, yeah, load up on the
right,
books, folks.
Load up on that, right.
There's no better investment for your money than these books.
Yes.
Study
yes.
manuals.
Yeah.
Sell your big screen TV and buy yourself a bunch of books.
Right.
Sell your cloak and buy a sword.
Right. All right. So what we're dealing with here is, how should I put it, the foundational teachings of the Holy Scriptures have been both deliberately and accidentally tampered with because, number one, the King James Version translators were not the best of scholars. They were hastily assembled by King James, and he did that in response to the Congregationalist movement, which was, how should I put it, seceding from the Anglican Church, and he didn't like that. That's why mm-hmm. he had the quote-unquote authorized version, authorized to make intellectual war against the Congregationalist movement, who eventually wound up coming to America and founding America, right? So, so this is also important history that, of course, your Judeo-Christian ministry will never mention. But here, for her wound is incurable. Wow.
That's number 605, incurable.
Uh-huh. It certainly is for some so-called Christians, most so-called Christians. For it has come to Judah, he has come to the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. So I would say that the only cure for this wound is obeying Yahweh's laws. Verse 10, declare you it not at Gath, weep you not at all in the house of Ephrah, roll yourself in the dust. Now Gath was a town peopled by giants. That is actually the tribe from which the giant that David slew came from, okay, the tribe of mm-hmm. Gath. Goliath, and these people still existed. Although by the time of, you know, the kingdom of Judah, most of them would have been wiped out. But in the time of David, obviously, and in the time of Solomon, these giants were still around, although they become increasingly rare. Okay? And by the way, we did a report that the Smithsonian Institution admitted to destroying and hiding evidence of giants in the past. They actually have bones of these giants that they've been destroying and hiding from the public because that doesn't jive.
For over 100 years.
For over 100 years because they're trying to maintain the fable of evolution, folks. So we could even do a show just on that. All right. So declare it not at Gath. So don't bother with these Canaanites at Gath. We're not casting out pearls before swine. Okay. Pass you away, you inhabitant of Saphir, having
okay.
your
okay. That what's is, that is Saphir.
Okay.
It is 8208, and that is a place in Philistia, where the Philistines were from.
Okay. All right, now the Philistines were descendants of Ham, but they were not Canaanites. Okay?
That's correct.
Why off and on the Israelites had good and then bad relationships with the Philistines, but Yahweh did not instruct the Israelites to exterminate the Philistines as he instructed the Israelites to exterminate the Canaanites and especially the Edomites. Okay?
Well, the problem evolved that the Pelishtim, the Philistines, paganized. They had other gods, and they would, for religious reasons, would oppress Israel.
Yes, yes, amen, amen. And of course, we should not associate with the heathen, those nations that are, you know, trampling on our faith. Right, and causing us to err. Brother Hebert puts, he discusses the word, Yahweh would discover the foundations of Samaria, and these are the idols which were gathered of the hire of the harlot. There's a much closer connection to sexual promiscuity here than is apparent. This is from Arnold Kennedy's article, The Genetic Code in the Book of Life, where he quotes Thayer's lexicon regarding the word foundation, and it says foundation as the quote unquote, now listen folks, the injection or depositing of the virile semen in the womb or of the seed of plants and animals. So this word foundation has a living, you know, sexual meaning to it. It's not just like the foundation of a building or the foundation of a city or a state. It's actually talking about the foundation of our race is what it's
like
talking.
Founding a dynasty, founding a household, the house of Dawid, the foundation. That was his progeny.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So that word foundation.
In that context, the founding. And it requires yes. sexual action because
right.
you're going. It's
requires offspring.
The subsequent births
mm-hmm.
began that dynasty.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's how that works.
Right. The Hebrew word for foundation has much deeper meaning than the English word foundation. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh
yes.
yeah.
All right. So let's continue here. And what was Saphir again?
It's Saphir, and that's a place in Philistia.
Oh, okay, right.
Okay.
Having your shame naked, the inhabitant of Zanan came not forth in the morning, that's Mourning, in the morning of Beth-Ezel, he shall receive from you
okay,
his
standing. Okay, in the wailing,
mm-hmm.
not mourning.
Okay,
it's wailing. It's a different word. It is number 4553 in your Hebrew dictionary in the Strong's number. It means wailing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So verse 12, he shall receive from you his standing, which means what? Your just deserts?
It means, it says in the Hebrew, he shall take away, 3947, from you his standing ground, 5979. It means as the ground he stands on.
Okay, okay, very good. Again, another form of foundation, right? Verse 12, for the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from Yahweh to the gate of Jerusalem. Okay, what's the Hebrew
word? That would be, but calamity came down from Yahweh to the gate of Jerusalem.
And that is Ra, right? Calamity.
That's correct.
It's not, it doesn't mean that Yahweh does evil. What he does is he chastises us. And from our perspective, it feels like evil, right? Just like
it has a connotation of the sense of harm.
Right, right.
Okay, chastisement. Punishment.
Punishment, exactly. Okay. But we can say, put it this way, but punishment came down from Yahweh unto the gate of Jerusalem. Evil here is an unfortunate translation by the King James translators.
Well, what have we got today? We have calamity all over the world. We are in constant calamity with the killings and the riots and the rapings and the theft and the embezzlement and the enslavement of the population by the Jewish bankers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's calamity for our people, is it not?
Yes. Amen. But this translation of evil from Ra has led many people, even with an identity, to falsely conclude that Yahweh does evil to us. No, he doesn't. He does not disobey his own laws.
Well, there's a lot in identity that are new in identity, and they haven't done the research and the word study, which is the reason that I am publishing. For the Torah is out there now. I'm printing out and computerizing the prophets. I'm in the middle of that, and as soon as I'm done with the prophets, I will do the writings, with Psalms and Proverbs and Ruth and all of those, okay?
Okay.
And then that'll be done. Then I'm going to tackle the New Testament with the Greek and do a lot of Greek explanations.
Right. Okay. And people can get your translation from your website, right?
www.pastor.com. Yeah, well, they'll contact you at American National Publishing.
Okay. Or, you know, send us, either one of us, an email. And the quickest email for me is elijames@att.net. Okay. And why don't you give out your email so people can order directly from you or from your website. Okay.
Well, and also, the website is http://www.pastor-steve.com. And I will forward everything. I'm just printing the things out, and I'm having Eli distribute them. I can't do any more. My plate is absolutely full.
Right. So, right, yeah. So if you want, and it's $30 for the reader's version and $40 for the pastor's version, which
the difference is, on the opposite page from the English in the pastor's version, it has the Hebrew, and each Hebrew word has the Strong's numbers, and it's transliterated format. For those who don't read Hebrew, it's translated with English letters, and it reads left to right like we read, but it has the Strong's numbers after each Hebrew word. And the Strong's numbers in the English
for serious study.
So you can see exactly what the word is.
Yes, and both versions will require a three-ring binder, which is not included in the mailing.
Their pages are pre-punched for three-ring binder. I send them with little zip ties to make them a bound book, so we can send them media mail.
Right, exactly.
But the notes are sometimes even longer than the chapters with all these words explained.
Right.
All this explanation that I'm giving you here on the show is in that book.
Right. And the pastor's version is $40. Postpaid in America, unfortunately, postage to Europe and Australia is $50. Okay. So if you want to order that from Australia, it's going to cost you $90. And same for Europe. Canada is a little less.
These are not little bitty tiny pamphlets. This is 8.5 by 11. And it's a couple of inches thick just for the Torah.
Right.
That's just the five books of Moses alone.
That's just the five books
of Moses. You're not going to get this much information in any version of the Bible anywhere.
Right.
I've spent 13 years on this.
Right. Right. And we're working to establish print shops in Australia and in Europe so we can cut down on the mailing costs. You know, that's part of what we're trying to do, right? It takes a lot of time and effort and a little bit of money to set all this stuff up so we can get these versions to you at lower cost. But for the time being, it's about $50. It's $37 for the smaller reader's version to mail to Europe and Australia. So they don't mail overseas, you know, which is only takes a week. But they don't do that anymore. Everything has to go by airmail now, and that has increased the cost tremendously. But in any case, so if you're interested, contact me by email, elijames@att.net, or Pastor Steve at, what's your email address?
Email? Oh, yes. Boy. I'll just post it in the chat room.
Okay. Hallelujah, right?
Right.
Hallelujah. Okay.
Well, it's complicated. It's too much to read.
Okay. So they can send me an email, and it ultimately has to come to me anyway, all right? Because I have the print copies right here at American National Publishing, and we're trying to turn Amnat Pub into a bona fide publishing house where we will make available classics, identity classics, both of British Israel and American Israel, and relevant historical documents that, books that are critical to the understanding of the Bible, and we'll try to make those available through American National Publishing as we continue to, promote the identity faith in this evil world.
Well, so it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We're trying to combat that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, so verse 12, for the inhabitant of Maroth waited carefully for good, but again, but evil, that is Ra, that is
coming. Maroth longed for.
Oh.
23:42.
Okay. Oh.
But longed for good.
Okay. Very good. Not just waiting, and carefully is kind of a obsolete word in this usage here. So longed for, yearned for good would be a better translation. Okay. And came down from Yahweh to the gate of Jerusalem. O you inhabitant of Lachish, bind the chariot to the swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in you. Okay.
Okay.
So, all right.
You inhabitants of Lachish, harness 7573, the chariot to the swift steed.
Steed.
7409.
Yes. Yeah.
She is the beginning, 7225, of sin, 2403, to the inhabitant of Zion, because her transgressions. Because the transgressions of Israel were found in you.
Lachish, right? The inhabitant of Lachish, okay? Mm-hmm. So he's picking out, he's picking out the different cities, different municipalities of the Israelites and telling them how they have sinned, okay? You might as well name Chicago, New York,
Chicago, yes.
Right, yeah. London, right? Etc., etc., because
all
that's
all of where... San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. Fagland.
Right? All right. And verse 14, therefore shall you give presents to the Moorish Gath, the houses
of
Oxy.
All right, stop
okay.
right there.
All right.
Moorish Gath, that's Moorish of Gath, the province of Gath. That's Micah's birthplace.
Okay, right. The houses of Achzib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. I can see that the KJV
okay.
translator had great difficulty with this text.
The houses of Achzib, that's a place in the lowlands of Yehuda.
Okay.
Shall be a deceitful stream, 3:9:1.
Wow, what a difference.
That, all right, the houses of Achzib shall be Achzab to the kings of Israel. It's a word play. Achzib and Achzab. Achzab is a word play, and it means deceit.
Right. Streams of deceit. Very interesting.
Streams of deceit.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. People are really getting an education of what the real Hebrew is like.
That's why Yahweh blessed me with all of this, so I can pass it on.
Right. Amen. Amen. Verse 15.
They don't have all these years to study. They're trying to survive right? out there today. So he gave it to me so I can give it to them. It's a gift.
Yes. Our people have their noses to the grindstone, right? Trying to make a living.
Yeah.
Not for studying scripture.
You got grindstone to sharpen that sword for the
day. Right, there you go. Take a break. Take your nose off that grindstone and put your sword there, folks. Verse 15. Yet will I bring an heir to you, O inhabitant of Merishah. He shall come to Adullam, the glory of Israel. What does Adullam mean here?
Means Adullam.
Okay, well.
That's the name of a city.
Okay. So he's citing Adullam as the glory of Israel.
Yeah, it was a fancy city.
Okay. Understood. Verse 16, make you bald and pull
okay,
you.
Okay, stop.
Okay.
Make yourself bald, 71:39. Now, what was making yourself bald? They would shave up above the forehead. And like the monks, you see the Catholic monks?
Right,
they shave
right,
that.
Okay.
All right. This is a pagan practice
Ooh.
Involved with mourning
oh,
for the
my
dead.
Goodness.
And it says, make no baldness upon your head.
Right.
In the early laws. Bingo, that's what this is. And shear yourself, 1492.
Yeah.
In other words, shave your head, which you were not to do. That's a pagan hairstyle where you see these guys with these mohawks and stuff.
Right.
That's paganism for your dainty 8588 children. And that means tender, tender little children. Because the children are going to die.
Right.
Enlarge your baldness, 7377.
Yeah, you might as well go whole hog.
Your baldness, 7144, as the eagle, 5404, the bald eagle. Okay? For they have gone into captivity, 1540. From you, gone into captivity is one word. They have been driven into captivity from you. So you are to mourn for these children and go ahead and shave your head because you're pagan anyway.
Yes, right. And you might as well go all the way with your paganism.
There's a lot more to these things when you understand the words.
Yes. These Hebrew idioms are... fantastic. They have so much meaning. All right, Micah chapter 2, verse 1. Woe to them that devise, this is a famous verse here, woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil. Now, what is the word for evil here?
7451, raw.
Okay, same. So this is people doing evil, which means they are violating Yahweh's laws. Because mm-hmm. when we do evil, it's always in violation of Yahweh's laws. And work evil upon their beds.
They're laying around on their beds at night devising evil plans.
Mm-hmm. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. So they're practicing evil upon one another. And usually,
okay. When morning dawns, they do it, 6213, that means to perform an act.
Right.
Because it is in the power, that's 410, that is L, mighty one, power, little g God, or the might of their hands.
Right. So here you see that the word L is not always a reference to a god, but
that's
to...
mighty one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so, and of their hand, that would be the right hand, and that is a symbol of power. So right. That is a double meaning right there.
Mm-hmm. So this would have to be a reference to the... let's call it the aristocracy within Israel.
Exactly.
Because, right, yes.
And what have we got with the aristocracy, the financial aristocracy today?
Yeah.
How can I screw over somebody today?
Right, right. So the aristocracy of Israel was lording it over and oppressing the poor people of Israel. That's how you need to understand this verse. That's what Yahweh is criticizing.
Mm-hmm.
This is
what, exactly.
Okay, that's what Micah is criticizing here. Verse 2, and they covet fields. They want to steal your land.
Okay, remember when Ahab wanted to take that vineyard?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, this is my inheritance. You can't have it.
All right.
So Isabel, the one they call Jezebel, engineered somebody to say he's blasphemed Yahweh and the king, and they stoned that man at her instigation and killed him, and then Ahab
took it. Yeah. See,
well, how many people have they framed and done land confiscation on in this land today?
Amen.
By a law. Frame mischief by a law?
Right.
There you go. Remember that? Those who frame mischief by a law. What do our congressmen and senators do?
And our judiciary.
And our judiciary. And if it's not a law, they just make one up.
That's right.
And if you object, they shoot you.
Right. Or put you in prison.
Yep.
All right. So many of our people are, the income tax is an unconstitutional law.
It's not legal. But
it's not legal.
Try to avoid
prison.
I'm going to hire me a lawyer who is an officer of the court.
A Jew lawyer.
and he has sworn an oath.
Right.
To the Queen.
Right.
To the Bar Association.
Right.
British Accreditation Registry.
Oh, that's not the local bar down the street where you have drinks?
that would be a good thing.
Right. Much better.
Let's go have a beer and discuss it.
Right, right.
And you'd get more done, more justice down at the local pub.
That's right. That's ultimately where the next revolution is going to come from, right?
Well,
yes, Yahweh is mocking their pagan practices.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Aber. Yeah. With the word, I don't know what the word is for justice. Maybe we'll come across it, but justice is lacking in Israel, and it was lacking
Mishpat.
Mishpat. Okay. Very good. So back to verse 2, and they covet fields and take them by force, and houses and take them away, so they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. This is Israelites oppressing other Israelites, folks. That's what the prophet Micah is exposing. And the fact is, the Judeo-Christians do as much as they possibly can to oppress us by calling us a cult.
And they covet fields and take right? violent possession.
Right, working with the Jews.
1497 right? of them. To and deprive us. And take them away.
Right.
So they oppress 6231, right. a man. 1397.
Right.
That's not an ish. That is a man. And his house, even a man-ish, 376, and his property, 5159, Nachala.
Okay. So, what we're seeing is the Judeo-Christians, in cooperating with the Jews, are oppressing the true Israelites, us, Caucasian Israelites.
Absolutely. They're doing that with their race traders.
Right.
That have got into the legal profession, which is ruled
right.
by
Pervert.
The Jews.
Right, exactly. So how can they escape the damnation of hell when they are cooperating with the oppressors? At the very least.
If you're going to hang with the goats, then eventually you're going to hang with the goats.
You might as well get fried with them, right?
There's a double meaning there.
Yeah. Amen. You know? Amen.
Hey, you want to be a goat? Yeah. Take what comes to the goats.
Yeah. And what really galls me, what really galls me about these people is they arrogate unto themselves the right to criticize us for obeying his laws. Right? That's real arrogance, folks. That's real arrogance. They think they're not going to get judged. They think they're going to get raptured. I'm sorry.
In the last days, what is good shall become evil, and what is evil shall become good. Are we not seeing that today, brothers and sisters?
That's right. By white people who
call themselves
Christians.
A man's greatest enemy would be those of his own house.
Right? Our own house.
They're the house of Israel, and they're oppressing fellow Israelites.
Right.
They
got to clean up
all day long and think they do God a service.
There's a house cleaning in order, folks. It's our house that needs to be cleaned. All right? Verse 3. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, behold, against this family do I devise an evil. And what's the word evil? It's probably Ra again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. From which you shall not remove your necks. You're not going to wiggle out of this one, you lawbreaker Judeo-Christians.
And again, that evil would be calamity.
Right. Neither shall you go haughtily. You aristocratic white people who think you're better than us, even though you don't obey his laws, you think you're better than us because you're not quote-unquote racists?
Well, they are.
Yeah, they are. So, hauteur, the great apostasy, folks, for this time.
That's Roma.
Mm-hmm.
7317, Roma.
This time is evil.
But this is a time of calamity.
That's right. This is a time of calamity. And folks, the reason why we're addressing Micah here is because we are in the last days, and if you can't see the calamity that is befalling our race, you're blind, deaf, dumb, and stupid.
Yeah, try to walk down the street of your city at night.
Yeah, right.
unarmed.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Give it a good.
Yeah.
Give it a good shot. See how well you do.
All you pacifistic Judeo-Christians. I don't see them moving into black neighborhoods.
God loves everybody. We're all brothers.
They're the descendants of people who moved away from black neighborhoods, and then they think, oh, well, we're not racist. We don't judge blacks. We don't judge anybody. We don't judge anybody, not even ourselves. Yeah, that's right. You don't judge yourselves, do you?
Kumbaya, right? My Lord, kumbaya.
And you deny his laws. You're evil. You're evil. That's what you are. Right, exactly. Yeah, get the barf bags out, folks.
And now go worship at the great porcelain temple of Ralph.
That's right. Right?
Oh,
okay.
Man.
For this time is evil. In that day, which is often a idiom for the coming day of judgment, okay, it can be near or far. In that day shall one take up a parable against you.
All right, let's read day as time.
Okay.
A period of time.
There will come a time, yes.
Is in probably... that time shall one take up a parable against you.
And lament.
Mashal.
Right.
Parable is mashal.
And we in identity are the ones doing that right now. And lament with a doleful lamentation and say, we are utterly spoiled. He has changed the portion of my people. How has he removed it from me? Turning away, he has divided our fields. We're the only ones. Only CI is giving the warning to the white people of Israel. You
all
better
right,
clean
that,
up your act.
That is inaccurate. Let me read this verse as it is in the Hebrew.
Okay.
In that day or that time shall take up a parable against you and wail, 5091, with a doleful, 5093, wailing, 5092, and say, we are utterly ruined. Mm-hmm. Now that is shaddad, doubled. We are shaddad.
Okay.
And that is, they repeat the same word as an emphatic.
Right.
And instead, we are ruined. It's utterly ruined because they doubled that word.
Okay.
The portion, 2506, of my people has been changed. 4171. Portion is an allotment when they cast a lot for their inheritance.
Hmm.
How it is taken away. 4185 from me.
Yes, our inheritance has been stolen.
Here's where they went astray. Our fields, 7704, are given to 2505.
The heathen.
Those who turn away, that's all one word, 7728, as the unfaithful.
Yes. So
our fields are given to the unfaithful.
Yeah.
In other words, they're taking away the property of the righteous people and giving that property to the unrighteous.
Yes. Very good.
See how that changes?
Yes.
When you have the words right.
And it totally clarifies the meaning of the verse where the KJV translation is vague. It's vague.
They have the word order wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Turning away, he has divided our fields? No.
Mm-hmm. Now, it continues the thought
of... Our fields are given to, divided, those who turn away. That's
right.
The Hebrew word order.
Yes.
They changed the doggone word order in there and made it say something completely different.
Right, and divided is not the same as given away.
That's right.
It continues the thought of the oppression that many of us Israelites will be facing. So it's better in context.
The King James perversion has just screwed everything up.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. I feel your pain, brother.
Oh.
Right? And then we have Judeo-Christians pronouncing the KJV as inerrant. Can you imagine, folks? Can you imagine these ignorant pulpit masters with their stupid pronouncements, okay? They better learn to get by a concordance and start really learning scripture, okay? Because the KJV is not enough. Verse 5.
It has changed so many passages to mean something entirely different because of their horrible translation.
Yeah, it is horrible. Absolutely horrible. Therefore, but we have to use it because all of the concordances
well,
are most
we
of
the... get we can use it if you're prepared to decipher it.
Right.
But you better have a good concordance, and you need to look up
virtually every word. Yes.
Word. Well, yeah. That's the reason that I'm doing what I'm doing with these books. Most people don't have the time to do that, Eli. They just don't have the physical time in these days because of the struggle for survival by our people.
That's right.
And the struggle for to get enough stuff to prepare to live through the rest of this tribulation. I firmly believe, as Pastor Dan says, that we are in the tribulation now.
Yes,
I think we've
so too.
Come out of the time of Jacob's trouble, and we have entered into the period of tribulation with all the violence. The violence is the key to the signs of the times.
Right, right. And it's not being reported.
An increasingly violent period of time, and people need to prepare. They need to get their families spiritually prepared and physically prepared for about a 3.5 year survival time. You're not going camping for a weekend.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You need to have water.
Lots of canned tuna.
I have my list of survival tips. I'm going to post again in July the second portion of the survival tips.
Okay.
You can find that on Assembly of Christian Israelites, http://... Assembly of Christian Israelites, all one word, no break, .org/. That's the website. You'll find my post on that.
Yes, yes. And we might as well give a plug to Brother Hebert's website,
www.thinkoutsidethebeast, all one word, no breaks, .com.
Yes.
And he's got a load of stuff on his website.
Yes. So what we're seeing here, the great apostasy taking shape, and now we have definitely moved into the period, it's post-apostasy, and it's now apocalyptic, where the violence being done, actually, in my opinion, it actually started with World War I, because we have lost 2/3 of the members of our race. That fulfills a prophecy in Isaiah with World Wars I and World War II, and the war of the international genocide against the white race by the Jews, by staging all these wars, began with World War I. Now we're just beginning to recognize how bad this genocide against us is, okay? Because it's not being reported. As somebody said in the 60s, the revolution will not be televised. Why? Because the television networks are part of the war against us.
That's right.
Okay? So they're not
going to... Let's do verse 5 here.
Okay.
Now, in the King James Version, it says, "Therefore, thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of Yahweh." Okay?
No.
In my version of the Hebrew, "Therefore you shall have none that cast a lot," 1486, "cord," 2256, "in the congregation of Yahweh." Now, what is a lot cord? The cord is... a lot is goral, 1486, and cord is 2256, kabel, and that is a line for measuring used to establish ownership of land.
Ah, okay.
There you go. Now you know what a lot cord is.
Of course, the King James Version doesn't convey that at all.
Okay.
Right? Right. Please explain that again, because that's an important distinction here.
All right.
Obviously,
here's how it reads in the Hebrew. Therefore, you shall have none that cast 7993, that's Shalach, a lot 1486, Goral, cord 2256, Chabel, in the congregation 6951 of Yahweh, and that is to cast a measuring line.
Mm-hmm.
They would have a stone on one end, and one guy would hold one end, and they'd throw that stone out there and until it mm-hmm. it stopped, and then somebody would go pick up the stone, and they'd pull it tight, and it would be so many cubits.
Right.
A preset measurement, and they'd put they'd have it in a line, and put a little stake at one end and a little stake at the other. Okay, they'd sight down the little stakes, make sure they were all straight in a linear fashion.
Right.
And then they'd go to the last stake and they'd cast that cord again. And they'd line that up and make sure it was all in a line. They'd put another stake in. And that's how they measured out a portion of land where they cast out a lot. They cast a lot for apportionment for each family.
Okay.
And that is how they measured it in those days.
All right. So
it's a primitive form of surveying.
Right. So the meaning is that our people will no longer possess, they will no longer have a lot to cast with, and our possessions, our land, will be stolen from us.
That's right. Nobody will know whose land is what possession.
Right.
Well, they're confiscating all the land using eminent domain.
Yes, and selling it to the Chinese, right? Giving it to the UN. Giving it to the UN.
Yep.
All right.
Well, we're down to 3 minutes here, yeah, according to this. Right. I don't have a show clock up.
Right. So this type of study, it shows you how seriously lacking the King James Version is in these translations. It sounds nice. It's pretty language. Okay. But it's very much lacking in explanatory verbs and nouns. Very much lacking.
Well, nobody's gone through the trouble of explaining all of this. And these idioms
especially
are
the
critical.
Idioms. Yes.
Absolutely critical to understanding the meaning of what the daylights are talking about.
Right. Or what the devil they're talking about, right?
Well, I don't understand the Bible. It's so obscure. Well, of course, it's been made obscure.
Right, right.
It's not obscure. It's been obscured.
That's right. That's right.
That's the deal.
But fortunately, the original Hebrew and the original Greek, especially the Septuagint, have been preserved. And we can compare these translations with the original languages and this was part of the Westminster Confession. They said that the original Hebrew and the original Greek must be used to measure the translations with. And that's what we're
doing,
folks.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, folks, this has been tremendous fun. I think we've all learned a lot today. And we learn by teaching, and hopefully there's appreciation here among the white folk of Christian Israel that this is a worthy enterprise. Thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition, and stay tuned for David James. All right?
Shalom Aleichem.